Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the gorilla people of the eastern capital. Good morning to the wolf women and the various tribes of squirrels. Good morning to those people living in storm drain someplace in Miami, Florida. Eating cane gator, that's what they call it now, gators addicted to cocaine. The gators live in those storm drains, those damnable albino cocaine gators, yayos they call them. They live in the storm drains of Miami. They feed on the fallen and forgotten. They live off the scumptious grease of yesterday. So I say for tomorrow and tomorrow's yesterday, which I guess is today, good morning. It is Friday, 3:22 a.m. on March the 28th, 2025, Bob Limp Doc. And you could say, thank God it's Friday. But what god-awful reason does a man have to be up at almost 3:30 a.m.? Clearly, he's going to say some terrible things, because only in the darkness, only in the shadows, can the terrible things be said. In the light of day, it is repulsive to the optimistic spirit, the hopeful gumptus, your syrup world, strawberry pancakes, chocolate chip. Yeah. So in March of 2019, I did a podcast. So this was 6 years ago, almost exactly 6 years ago, not really, but almost a little more than 6 years ago. And the topic of the podcast was the state of Israel. It wasn't being Jewish or Judaism, it wasn't being Hebrew, it wasn't about the ethnicities of what it means to be Semitic. It was specifically about the state of Israel and Zionism. And in that podcast, I think I said some things that are still true. I compared the state of Israel to a golem, which is really related to, I guess you could say, Jewish mythology, but it's related to a kind of fan fiction or lore that had many versions, a lot like the Dr. Faustus myth. I mean, there's more than one Dr. Faustus story. If you don't know, you should know. And there's more than one story about the golem. And the golem as a feature of literature comes out of the late Middle Ages. And that was a time of persecution. The Catholic Church was killing women because they were midwives. The Catholic Church was killing men because they questioned things. The Catholic Church was killing a shit ton of people for just being different. And guess what? They were putting cats on trial too. Yeah. And actually, they put a lot of animals on trial. It's something that people don't realize. You know, again, oh, but they're familiars to the witches. Yeah. But it's the cat trials I find the most interesting, because I believe throughout the entire trial, the cat is aloof. I mean, the cat is born a killer. The cat understands death. When you look into a kitty cat's eyes, you're looking beyond the veil, because the cat lives in two worlds. And putting a cat on trial, that doesn't bother the cat. And if I'm to believe the education I received, and I have to put it in those terms these days, I'm going to drink a little coffee here. If I'm to believe what I was told, a lot of Jewish people during the Inquisition, specifically, were murdered. And I cannot to this day tell you if there was any good reason. I can't think of a good reason to kill anybody. I really can't. I think self-defense. I think if a person's trying to harm someone you love, then yeah, maybe you end up killing. But the objective is not to kill. The objective is to protect. And there's a big difference. If someone uses a gun out there in the woods because a grizzly bear or a growler bear, which, you know, they're coming for us, the growler bear. And if you've never seen that 1970s film, again, there are other films by this name, but this one had the title Prophecy, and it had to do with a weird-ass inside-out bear that gone insane because it had had too much Miami cocaine. No, not really. The lumber mill was poisoning the water. Yeah. A golem is a monster. I think that Zionism is a death cult. I think that Theodore Herzl understood what it was. In 2019, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said, imagine if he came forward in time, and I said he would reject the state of Israel. But in fact, I was wrong. I think he would embrace it. And that's where we're at. This isn't about being Jewish, by the way. It isn't about Hebrew. It isn't about the Old Testament or the New. This is about a group of people that seem a lot like the people that followed Jim Jones. I'll be honest with you. And this also means something else. There are innocent people, just like in, well, no, not there. I'm not going to bring up Sodom, but there are innocent people who live in the state of Israel. And some of them may understand what's going on, which means they've accepted their fate. Others may not, and my advice would be leave. Because Kool-Aid Day's coming. You can count bombs, and you can count bullets, and you can count the dead. But the simple fact is, this entire ship is going to tip over. Monsters like this, they don't get to have happy endings. They don't. They never do. Anyways, there's a link to the podcast from 2019 in the notes for your convenience. And we'll move on to the next topic. Related, though. These are related topics, and that's why it's dangerous, right? I won't dox innocent people, but the people I know that are shitheads, I will sometimes do it. And the question marks, I'll leave a question mark. But this is not doxing. There was a woman I knew in 2012 who is a really cool person, probably still is, knew her in 2012, 2013, and definitely fits into the category of one of my biggest mistakes. I won't say more about it, but really cool person. And I'd met her when I was still kind of a libertarian, and we were, you know, we decided to go to this Republican thing, which was really dumb. It was so silly, the whole thing. And she started talking about the banking system and the Rothschilds, and I just turned off. It was like a switch in my brain. The switch turned off. I mean, I think back to that, and I think I kind of understand the people that paraded in the COVID nightmare because there was a switch in their brain that got thrown. And I liked her, so I decided to be the condescending piece of shit and say, oh, yeah, the Jews, you know, blood science, blah, blah, blah. But in fact, she was right, and she wasn't about hate either. She never said things that were hateful. She just pointed out that maybe the United States of America is not what we think it is, and maybe the people running things are not the people we vote for. And I kind of agreed with that. I mean, I was basically almost to the point of admitting to myself what I knew when I left the Army in 1999 and what got interrupted by love. So I became a voter, that I'm an anarchist. I don't want violence. I don't want destruction. Those are the things your tax dollars pay for. I want peaceful coexistence. And my belief system might be utopian, but the difference between mine and these other utopian visions is that I don't want to force anybody to do anything. I would settle for a piece of this planet just being allowed to be free. If the rest of you want to form your own little collective commie sucking fucks, I don't care. I won't be visiting you. If you have a free city with simple laws that make sense and actually have victims, I might visit you. I mean, I don't know. But the point is, I wish we had that choice. Right now, we don't have any real choices when it comes to the type of society we want to live in. We don't. And if there are any left, it's narrowing. And the real difference between being primarily the target of abuse and not isn't about the country you're living in. It really is about how much quote-unquote money you have. People with enough money can build themselves a castle in the sky. And if I were as crooked as them, you know, maybe I would be if I was rich. But if I were, I would want my castle someplace really far away, and that's not New Zealand. And it's not something you read about in Wired magazine. I hate to break your hearts, Mega Man. But just like that switch that went off in my head, you need to throw the switch. These are people who have the resources to live anywhere on planet Earth. So if they were going to pick a location to ride things out, it probably would not be someplace you'd read about in Wired magazine. and probably not the state of Israel either, which means in a way, this could be a situation of where many people, even the people who think they're in on it, are being lied to. But it's, I don't want to go there right now. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The tyranny of Jewish suffering is corrosive to moral reasoning. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you something that's true about my life. I was born in 1970. I just turned 55. Before I really understood the troubles, before I really understood the potato famine, before I understood the hundreds of years of abuse that the people of Ireland suffered under the British, and frankly, under the Vatican as well, before I really understood that history, I understood the Holocaust. Before I knew about the Armenian genocide or the 60 million Chinese that Mao Zedong threw into the wood chipper, before I knew about all the Russians and Ukrainians that the Georgian Stalin, yeah, he was Georgian, not Russian, grow up, people. Yeah, before I knew about any of that, I knew about the Holocaust. And then every day, every TV show, even Little House on the Prairie, using time travel logic, would somehow introduce it. You know, the pogrom. I've known more about the Holocaust than any other suffering in human history. And it's always the case that things are justified by the suffering. I have suffered so much. Look at my suffering. Look what happened to me. But from my perspective, my whole life, the only folks that get the spotlight are, you know, Jewish people. And that's kind of weird. And then the next part of the moral argument is, well, this is why, Dan, we need the state of Israel. We need a nice, safe space for people. Again, no one asks why they need that space. They should probably ask that sometimes. No, there's no reason why. It's just hate, Dan. People are crazy, and they just randomly hate people. That's another thing that disgusts me. I've lived in different layers of this society. I've never been super rich, but I've been around people who are rich, and I've been around the poor. And what I've generally found to be the case, especially if you want to do a compare and contrast to the elite upper middle class of Seattle and compare it to just ordinary people in Tennessee, here's what I'll tell you. I would rather live around the ordinary people of Tennessee. And in terms of moral reasoning, the depth of ethical understanding, they beat every day the moral reasoning of your average Seattleite. From the perspective of a house flipper in a good neighborhood in Seattle, you could start tossing homeless people into a wood chipper publicly. Most of these people wouldn't fucking care. It doesn't matter if they're mega men or NPR women, they wouldn't fucking care. They've already rationalized the wood chipper. You should watch this documentary from, 2019, I think, called Seattle is Dying. I did a podcast called Seattle is Lying. And yeah, Seattle is lying to itself. And frankly, it's probably been doomed since the murder of Kurt Cobain. Yeah, murder. My whole life, college, high school, everywhere, especially in Catholic school, I've been told again and again about the suffering of the Jews. And, you know, from the Christian perspective, it would be sold as, well, you know, Christ was a Jew and this is the case, right? Although I think he was really a Hebrew, or rather the name wouldn't really apply because the name itself doesn't mean what people think it means. But he was of the chosen people. He was an Israelite, right? But it would be framed in those terms too. So if you rejected the idea that Jewish suffering, God, I have a hard time saying it. It's weird, it's like cotton mouth. That Jewish suffering is not the penultimate form of suffering. If you reject that idea, you're an outcast. You're a heretic. You're a Nazi. If you reject the idea that Jewish suffering is not the supreme form, then you are a piece of crap. And my view is that's held me back. That's held a lot of people back. That's held this country back, really. It's not the only reason why things are broken, but it's a big part of it. And it is something that people get educated on. Like the public school system wants two things. They want people to be dumb workers, and they want everybody to know about Jewish suffering. It's no accident that the book list at the high schools includes, you know, night, because they need people to be reminded. We need a movie every couple years to win the Oscars, and it's going to be about Jewish suffering. It'll either be about Jewish suffering in the camps, right, the magical camps, or it's about how Jews suffer in America and how everybody hates the Jews. But the simple fact is, I don't really know many, really. I'm not friends with any. I don't hate them or like them. I have nothing to do with them. The thing that that pisses me off are not the nationalities or ethnicities or religions. The thing that pisses me off are the broken systems. And most of you voters, I'm not saying my listeners, but as my friend Mr. Jorgensen says, you're just preaching to the choir. What a dumbass. Every podcaster is. Anyways, the voter mentality is to fix a broken thing by breaking other things. It's why Mega Man can look at the Doge and look at Elon Gusk and look at Papa Blump and J.D. Trance and Gulsi. It's why the Mega Man can look at this and think, oh, it's good, it's working. They don't want to apply too much logic, though. Like, if you believe the Doge logic, right, then you know the government is not efficient, and you know they make mistakes, right? Because wasn't there that Russian conspiracy involving the FBI? And again, they don't get rid of the FBI, they're going to fix the FBI, the voter way. So you send 100 people to President Ukulele's fucking suck camp down in El Salvador. Of those 100, at least one person is going to be just an innocent American citizen who's homeless. And every once in a while, it's going to be an American vet. Now, I don't believe any of this bullshit, and we'll talk about it later. So we'll just leave that subject aside. So yeah, the ordinary, everyday hick, whatever, country folk, the person that lives in the middle of nowhere, doesn't have the time or energy to worry about all that hate. In fact, it really is the CIA and the deep state and the institutions that get funded, you know, by printed money. It's really these institutions that foist that divide and conquer bullshit on us. And since 2020, it's been absurd. It's been a lot of the military psychological warfare since 2020 has been mostly trauma-based mind control, and the main versions of it have been divide and conquer. These people are hurting you. These are the bad people. But in all of this, and this is the absolute truth, we are constantly reminded of Jewish suffering. Constantly. Here's the truth, folks. Humans have suffered throughout history. If you believe what you're told, it's quite possible that the human race fucked and ate the Neanderthal out of existence. And that tells you a lot about us, not much about them. If you think it's because we're superior, it's because we were chosen, you need to meditate on the words you use, brothers and sisters. It might be because we were bigger assholes. It's like when people justify what's going on with the state of Israel in terms of might makes right. That's the worst argument ever. And by the way, that argument turns on everybody. Might makes right is like a knife. It's like, look at my knife. I am powerful. But here's the truth of it. You can get punched in the face. Somebody else can pick up that knife and shove it through your eye socket. Okay, might makes right, as far as logical, moral reasoning goes, is a knife, and it can go every direction. If you think that the monsters of chaos should rule the earth, guess what? They will. And one day, they'll turn their eyes on you, buddy, on the things you love and care about. One day, you might find yourself going to Uncle Ukulele's fucking suck camp, death camp in El Salvador, if that stuff is true. Next topic, because we don't want to dwell too much here. We have to move through the subjects in order. So here's the deal. There's a bunch of reasons why I no longer believe the story of the Holocaust, and I don't. I'm sorry. I'm through with it. But I'm going to give you some basic reasons. And they're based on the numbers, okay? The number is 6 million. And understand this, too. After the Nazis invaded Russia, specifically the Soviet Union in 1941, roughly 70% of the German economy, German military, German everything, was pointed at the Eastern Front. That's a little factoid people don't like to cover. In fact, When the Allies invaded France in 1944, the Germans treated the Western Front as vacation time, which means if a division is burned out, if it's at 40% strength, you send it to the Western Front. Worst case scenario, you get caught by the Allies. And yeah, they enjoyed killing Germans too. But a lot of them, you know, had a chance to become a POW. So it was basically vacation time from the perspective of the German army. In 1942, Adolf Hitler made Albert Speer the Reich's Minister for Economics. Now, what you need to know about Speer is he was smart. He was logical. He was efficient. The very same year, you have the Wannsee Conference, the conference for formulating the final solution. And the thing that I find absurd about the whole thing at this point in my life, and I should have seen it years ago, is that Albert Speer, who when he took charge, understood that the German economy was making 30 different kinds of tanks, for example, rough estimate, and instead they should make three, this guy, the guy who basically bought the Germans another 2 years, probably, he approved of, you know, the final solution. He would have had to. He would have had to approve of the use of fuel, that's diesel fuel, coal, and basically, if you're going to burn bodies, you're running a facility. You're running it 24/7. You're running a lot of these facilities all the time. Albert Speer, the guy that probably saved Hitler from immediate destruction in 1942, is a guy who would have approved of this. I find that kind of insane. I'm not saying he was a good guy, and believe me, if you want to read his autobiography, and I think it's called My 10 Years, if you want to read his autobiography, you feel free. I read parts of it when I was in graduate school. But the bottom line is, the guy who understood how to rationalize economic affairs is the same guy who would have approved of the resources to do one of the craziest things you could imagine. That's one thing. Here's the thing about magicians and grifters and liars and mind control. Liars and grifters and magicians will repeat the same things over and over again. In fact, they'll watch the YouTube channel that tells them, repeat it over and over again. So another reason why I reject the Holocaust is simply because why would you have to repeat this over and over again? If it is the penultimate suffering, if it is the ultimate darkness, it will be revealed. I just finished reading a book called Breaking Ground. It was about a Washington State Department of Transportation project from basically the early 2000s. And in the process of building this pier, the pier where they would, you know, build large pieces of a new floating bridge in the Hood Canal, in the process of doing this work of digging up the old mill, they found the bones. The bones. Probably not the bones of loggers, probably not the bones of Jewish people. They found the bones of Native Americans, Salish people. They found burial grounds. They found sacred places. The truth, the real truth about something terrible cannot be concealed. Lies have no mass. And so if you build a house based on lies, eventually it collapses. And what's left over after the dust clears is the truth. The problem I have with the Holocaust is that it was sold to me when I barely understood anything about tragedy. When I barely understood anything about the world, as a little kid, I was already being sold this idea. And then every year, every day, every moment for the rest of my life, probably every class almost, even the math classes, somebody will introduce the suffering, the lie, over and over again. Folks, if you're around somebody who has to repeat something over and over again and say, oh, you know this happened, you know this happened, here's what I'll tell you. That person is trying to gaslight you. That person's trying to manipulate you. That person's trying to control you and put a switch in your head. Here's another reason why I question the Holocaust, related to the last reason. Nothing. If you are actually a student of history, nothing that has occurred in history is beyond inspection. Even as a Christian, you should have knowledge of the history of the book you read. You should. You should not be afraid of it. There is nothing that we should say to ourselves cannot be looked at. Nothing. Because if we do have that thing and it's on earth, then by definition, it becomes a thing of worship. By definition. It's no longer a factual thing or even a truthful thing. It's a worshipful thing. It's a thing we bow down to. So I will say this again so people understand and I'm fucking clear. There is nothing that is spoken, nothing that is written, nothing that is done that is beyond inspection. If someone tells me that horrible thing happened during World War II, let me just get this out of the way. A lot of terrible fucking shit happened during World War II. Do you want to talk about General LeMay and why he wanted the high-altitude bombers? Yeah. And what types of bomb packages he used on Tokyo and other cities. These were not bomb packages designed to take out factories. These were bombing missions designed to kill a shit ton of Japanese. And if you look at the American propaganda from World War II, directed against the Japanese, that's some of the most racist shit you'll ever fucking see. That's also true. Nothing in history is beyond inspection. A lot of terrible shit happened during World War II. And probably the scariest theater of the war, by definition and in terms of resources, was the Eastern Front. And if you want me to tell you, did some terrible shit happen between the Nazis and the commies on the Eastern Front? You better believe it, buddy. And a lot of stuff we probably don't even know about. Do I think Hitler and the Nazis had concentration camps? They had them before World War II. And they weren't just for Jewish people. They were for people that didn't fit in. They were for freaks. They were for anarchists. By the way, usually they go for the anarchists first, but you know, we don't end up in the fucking poem, do we? Yeah, first they. No, they first come for the anarchists. You don't end up in the poem. And guess what? Later on, you get the gift. Every time they show you a burnt out building, every time they show you a crater, they'll say anarchy. What they should say is government. I look at Gaza, I don't see anarchy. I see the result of a government being a giant fucking turd. So yeah, everything in history can be inspected. We've talked about the suffering thing. We've talked about everything on my list. The bottom line is I am uncertain about the story. The story sounds outlandish to me at this point in my life. And it would have been less outlandish if it wasn't repeated over and over again. I mean, at a certain point, you have to use common sense. In fact, use Claude Shannon, signal theory. You can use Claude Shannon's basic math of signal theory to explain why the Holocaust might be bullshit. Because again, if I go to your door, I knock on the door, you open the door, I stay outside. You shut the door. I knock on the door, you open the door, I stay outside. Eventually, you're gonna ignore the knocking. Because you should. In fact, your nervous system has it baked into it. Eventually, it just gets droned out. We should reject this because it looks like something designed to be rejected. I mean, to me at this point, every time I hear a Holocaust story now, it sounds tinny. It sounds like some old speaker at a coliseum, you know, a high school football game, and an old tinny speaker. It doesn't sound reasonable, it doesn't sound enlightened, but it does sound like a lie. I've said this before, I'll say it again. For every mass grave we know about in the Western Hemisphere, specifically what happened in the last 500 years, for every mass grave we know about where some indigenous people were just wiped out, there's at least 10 we don't know about. I'm sorry for shocking you. But yeah, the book, Breaking Ground, I highly recommend it. And frankly, it's one of those things where if you can kind of see it from their perspective, and I think people should, it does sort of put into question the every single year, you know, we have a Holocaust movie. I think there should be a movie about this Breaking Ground book. I think there's not just a moral, there's not just a lesson here, but there is a powerful lesson in understanding morality. And frankly, understanding how lies work and how grifters work. In fact, one of the funnest parts of the book deals with, oh gosh, what was his name? I don't know, Aldwell. And Aldwell was a grifter, and Aldwell was one of these smug pieces of crap, and he came here and he did his Aldwell kind of fucking thing, and he didn't give a crap about the rivers. He didn't give a crap about the Native Americans here, and that was just a long line. The truth is, there were lots of grifters, lots of thieves that came here. By the time you get to the Washington State Department of Transportation, digging up the ground, the Salish peoples of this region had already been more than decimated. Understand, decimation in the context of Roman culture meant 10%. No, folks, the word decimation does not apply. Frankly, the word genocide applies almost, in the sense that these folks were not wiped out. There's this really cool line from the book where this elder in the tribe, and I think it was from 100 years ago, but he makes this prophecy of how, yes, you know, our people will almost be wiped out, but then we'll survive. I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but it's sort of like this powerful, yes, it's dark right now, but trust me, we will survive. We will recover. And I think that's the truth of it. That these lies, like I said, have no mass. There's nothing there. And eventually, the truth does win out. Sometimes it feels like it's too late. I will freely admit that. Let's go to the next topic, because you've been beaten up on the Jews. No, not really. I've been questioning Zionism, and I've been questioning the state of Israel. And as far as I'm concerned, the state of Israel looks crooked as fuck. Does that mean everybody there is crooked? No. But is the state of Israel itself really crooked? Yeah, and guess what? Our government's pretty fucking crooked, too. So it's kind of hard to pick between assholes. It's like people say, well, do you like China or the Russians? No, I don't like Putin. I don't like Xi. I probably would love ordinary Russian people, ordinary Chinese people, ordinary people from Kentucky. But these motherfuckers who want to run our lives are usually and almost always and invariably pieces of shit. So we're going to go to the next topic. And the topic is a film from 1986 called The Class of Nuke'em High. The Class of Nuke'em High. The Class of Nuke'em High. Yeah. And frankly, when I think about what I've observed in my job, and I don't talk about it too much, but what I've observed is the Class of Nuke'em High kind of predicted a lot of stuff. Now, of course, you don't see the kids with smart devices, but here's the difference. Imagine that the world of TikTok, the world of WhatsApp or whatever, the world of all these social media tools that I don't use, and I'm kind of glad I don't. I'm kind of glad I don't have the ironically named device. And every time I see any of these idiots, especially people in positions of authority using the ironically named device, I am reminded how I'm probably right about the things I think are going to happen. Let's just move on. But imagine all of the weird graffiti, all of the violence, all of the ugliness in the Class of Nuke'em High, but imagine it living inside that smartphone. Because if you walk around the high school, there's no graffiti, there's none. We don't have the cretins riding around on motorcycles, but if you could look inside their smart devices, because I've heard their conversations, all of it's going on in there, all of it and more. More than you can probably imagine if you went to high school at the Class of Nuke'em High. It's mean. It's horrible. Young people's lives are destroyed in part because they give too much power to something that should have zero power, and that's this ironically named smart device. But that girl gets what she wants. That girl gets what she wants. Anyways, the storyline of Class of Nuke'em High is an accident at a nuclear plant causes a radioactive water leak, which ends up gruesomely killing a student at a nearby school after the tainted water reaches the drinking fountain and a gang of students turn into violent psychopaths by the runoff from the plant. Leaves from a radioactive marijuana plant located in the yard of the nuclear plant are smoked by a couple, and the mutated drug shows itself to have a potent aphrodisiac effect, leading the couple to have sex, and later the girl immediately becomes pregnant and spits a little monster into a nearby toilet. The creature travels through the water pipes and lands in a barrel filled with radioactive waste and mutates into a bigger creature, causing mayhem in the school. And that's basically the storyline of the Class of Newcomb High. And it's a great film. There's a phone number that's shown in the film. Rarely, well, we still see it. But anyways, there's no area code. It's just 434-6157. And I'm assuming this is a New Jersey area code. So why don't you just find a Jersey area code and call that number sometime? It might be the key to what happens next. And that's all I want to say about that. Class in Newcomb High. Oh, Dan, that's silly. I don't care. Isn't it okay to be silly sometimes, given how heavy these topics are? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I've always felt this old. I don't know. I've always felt this old. When I was in high school, there was this girl I knew on the debate team, and she told me, Dan, you're an old soul. And I don't, honestly, I feel like that's just another kind of you're a nice guy bullshit, but we'll leave that aside for now. And I've had other people say things like that. When I was at basic training, and I was, you know, I was 20 years old at the time, 20, not 21, 20. But when I was at basic training, this drill instructor asked me how old I was. And then he said, son, you must have lived a hard life. Yeah. So I've had information thrown at me, and, you know, and I don't care. But if I were to ask myself the basic question, do I know more now than I did when I was in high school? Absolutely. I was very foolish. But the way that I was foolish in high school is the way that adults were foolish. And that's still true for kids today. But in terms of how I see the world, a lot of it hasn't changed that much. I've gone through periods of what I would call commercial optimism. And commercial optimism is the optimism they sell you. They sell you the appropriate hope. They sell you the appropriate optimism. You're supposed to be really excited about buying a house, but you're not supposed to be really excited about doing anything else, really. You're going to go buy a house. You have to go buy a house. If you don't own a house, what's wrong with you? So I used to get into the commercial optimism of the houses and the DoorDash and that reality, and I would try to give into it because that's what they want you to buy into, and then you're part of the group. You're part of society. Because you've decided to join in on the same rituals of commercial optimism. But God forbid you find your own things to be optimistic about. I've always felt this old. My memory could be going. I think a lot of people's memories could be going. Maybe it is due to the whatever they're spraying. I have no idea. Do I think they're spraying something? Yeah. Do I think Dane Wigington is right about it being related to geoengineering? Yes. But do I have any control over it? No. And at this point, the only thing that's going to stop it is collapse. That's it. Collapse or nothing else. No one's going to rise up. Mega Man's in office. You even have people that recognize the geoengineering's happening, and then they'll spit out fantasies of how Mega Man's going to stop it. No. No, it looks like Dane is right and they've doubled down. I've always felt this old. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. My whole life, it's been, Iran will have nukes in 2 weeks. We'll be on Mars in 5 years. Iran will have nukes. We'll be on Mars in 5 years. When I was 8 years old, no. When I was 10 years old, they said Iran would have nukes in 2 weeks and we'd be on Mars in 5 years. Ronald Reagan would get us there. When I got out of high school, they said that Iran would have nukes in 2 weeks and we'd be on Mars in 5 years. When I got fucking married, and so many years ago, they said Iran would have nukes in a couple weeks. Then they said, we're gonna go to Mars with Magic Ned on the SpaceX rocket, right? Or was it, you know, Virgin Galactic, XPRIZE? You remember the bold claims of 2004? We're going to be taking people up every day in a couple years. My entire life, it's been the Holocaust and Iran will have nukes in 2 weeks, and we'll be on Mars in 5 years. There'll be a robot brain in your kitchen drain. Everything will be cleaned up by the machine. You're going to live a long, long life, and every organ will be replaced because Iran will have nukes in 2 weeks. The killer bee will reach New York City by the year 1990. That's what they once said. They said there's going to be an ice age in 1976. That's what they once said. Maybe we shouldn't listen to any of them. Maybe they're all full of shit, right? My whole fucking life. It's so fucking stupid, too. Of all the mind fucks they do to us, that's one of the most interesting. The whole promising us the magical shit or the magical enemy or telling us these things, something's going to happen. What did Dr. Freckles say? What did he say? He said, if the government tells you something will happen in 100 years, you know one of two things is true. A, it's never going to happen, or B, it's already happening. Now look at the estimates of when the first blue ocean event's going to be. When I was younger, like 10, 15 years younger, they said the first blue ocean event would happen in the year 2150. Now they're saying sometime between now and 2030, which is just a couple years away. So I think we should meditate on this shit. Anyways, there was a post on social media about Javier Milei releasing files about the Nazis. There's a link in this post about it. I want to mention this because if you come across this story, it's more popping smoke. And also, it kind of fits into the whole, it's always the Holocaust, really. When you think about it, this is a double hitter. So I would ignore this bullshit if I were you. It's Sovietological dreck. Next one. So here's the deal. You may not like me calling this a neo-Stalinist hellhole, but every time Mega Man gets upset when I call this a neo-Stalinist hellhole, Mega Man will then say, look what Trump did for the price of eggs. Look what Trump did for the price of my gasoline. Trump's gonna take back the Panama Canal. Trump's sending an army against the Mexicans. In neo-Stalinist hellholes, you think you vote for somebody who's going to lower the price of eggs. In an actual free society, there isn't a person who sets the price of eggs. There is not a person who sets how much you pay for gasoline. There's nobody who sets the price of wheat or cotton or anything else. But in a neo-Stalinist hellhole, they do something interesting. Something that way beats the Soviets ripping off Sears and Roebuck magazines back in the 50s, if you know, you know. They set one price, the value of your work. That's what the Federal Reserve does. They pick the value of your work. And frankly, I can't think of anything more fucking commie, more Marxist, and simpler than that. They don't pick the value of the eggs. They don't pick the value of the beef. They couldn't give a fuck about the price of oil. But they do set the value of your work in a neo-Stalinist hellhole. And if you're the Mega Man, or frankly, NPR woman, if you're one of these idiot voters who goes around saying, my guy lowered the price of eggs and your guy raised the price of eggs, then you're just kind of just, you're a commie, but you're also kind of retarded. So good luck with that thinking, though. Trump lowering the price of eggs, that's a real miracle. Now, there's some can't do's, too. Dan, don't you realize Trump is getting eggs from Turkey? And it's like, wow, look at what's going on in Turkey right now. That's kind of interesting. A little color revolution, right? If the news is true, I don't know. So whenever I'm on social media, I get stepped on. This guy, David Atherton, can describe Afghanistan in the worst way possible. And I mean it, really disgusting ways. I respond to him about my actual visit with actual pictures to the Flixbus stop a couple of years ago across from Madison Square Gardens, the pimps chasing whores on scooters, the German tourists huddling in a corner, the land crabs or the 5-inch-long roaches scrambling about, street people pooping and peeing everywhere, and this guy wants to give speeches about Afghanistan, how shitty it is, and I wonder to myself, are we living in an upside-down world, you fuck? So it's kind of weird. Like, what is hate speech? What is hate speech? You ever ask the question, what is hate speech? Really? Because I think it's a made-up CIA kind of bullshit. But here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If it's not hate speech, it's boring. If it's not vile, it's boring. If it's not saying something that makes you cringe a little, that makes you singe a little, that's called fucking boring. The truth is, whether it's comedians or music or literature, stuff gets interesting when stuff gets dramatic and crazy. And guess what? Saying mean things to people, terrible things, cursing at people is part of what makes stuff interesting. The reason why we use that foul language is to raise the temperature, to make people aware. And as Lenny Bruce said, the only word worse than the F-bomb is the H-bomb. And it seems like a lot of you Mega Man motherfuckers are okay with literally bombing people back to the Stone Age. You seem okay with it. I think you're going to be okay. If you believe the story of Ukulele Man, I think you're going to be okay with the vets that go down there and accidentally get tortured and killed, you know. Yeah. Mega Man. Good on you, though. Good on your moral bullshit. Here's the topic that I've been edging around. So the Department of Homeland Security woman, you know, Christine No Name, she went to El Salvador's suck and fuck prison and talked about how we're going to hunt you down and send you to the fuck and suck prison. Here's the deal. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it really is important from a Sovietology perspective, and I'm talking to one of you out there. You comment on Spotify. I don't know if you listen. I think maybe you're just another cyber stalker. But let's be clear. I don't think any of this is particularly true or real. If you think on this, I actually asked some students as a thought experiment. Let's say the current estimate of illegal undocumented people in the United States is about, you know, let's say it's 20 million. I've heard that to be a rough estimate, 20 million. I asked a basic question. How long does it take to find these people and get them out of the country? And frankly, a lot of students who might have a hardcore opinion about it, they kind of stop. It's like, well, I don't know. It's like, that's a logistical problem. By the way, Albert Speer would have asked the Vonsi idiots, exactly how do you want this to work? Because he understood that sometimes evil can just be really, really, you know, fucking retarded. In all likelihood, it would take decades. And in the process, these people we're looking for are having babies. They're having kids. In fact, their kids are starting to have kids. The reality is, it's never going to happen. Here's what could happen if there's more time left in the game. This could be an excuse to hoover up homeless people and just take them someplace. And I don't even think they take them to El Salvador. Because El Salvador's little CECOP prison looks like an open grave. And you can have an open grave anywhere. You can put people in the containers on a ship and just drop them into the ocean. And it's not the first time that's been done, and it won't be the last time. There are lots of ways you could get rid of these folks and then tell the people back home with AI, hey, they're happy. They're at Alex Jones and Eric Prince's Happy Fucking Suck Lodge down in El Salvador. Look at that video. Did you see that letter your auntie wrote you? But in reality, they're all dead. If this game lasts much longer, because I've seen it in people's eyes, homeless have been prepared as the necessary sacrifice. And all you need is a thin veil of rationalization. Oh, they're going someplace nice. They're going someplace special. And I guarantee you, you'll have the good people of Seattle, Mega Man, NPR Woman, Prague, Lib Dem, Republican, All the damnable souls will be standing by, waving them goodbye as they head towards the port. And they'll be put on the ships, and they'll go away. And then the ships will come back for more people. I don't believe they're going to waste the diesel fuel. I don't believe this is going to happen. I even think the fearful thing of this being a way to hoover up homeless people is probably not going to happen. I think the game is almost over. I think a lot of this is theater. A lot of this is designed. It's the same thing that COVID was, just reversed. A lot of this is designed to keep Mega Man from, frankly, doing the one thing with his Cabela toys that he refuses to do. That's what this is. What this is designed to do. It's a sedative. At a national level, it keeps people asleep. And frankly, this applies to the liberals too. They have something to be angry about. They can go home from work and they can laugh at Trump. Everybody gets a little bit out of the theater. Everybody. So to answer Mr. Spotify, so you can listen clearly and not be a tard, I don't think any of this is going to happen. So I don't think a vet will be randomly hoovered up and sent there. But if you believe in Mega Man and you're tarded, then guess what? The law of large numbers says, yes, an American vet would be hoovered up and, yes, tortured and killed. God, I hope I explained that for everybody with an IQ above 66. You know what I'm saying, baby? More coffee, right? Paid clowns. So we've talked about paid clowns. Minstrels, you know, the harlequin, the court jester. Kings and queens, presidents and emperors, they don't pay clowns, generally, to make funny things funnier. Funny things are funny by themselves. In fact, throughout history, these people would usually just toss some poor person into a literal chipper and they would have a good laugh. No. They pay the clowns to make something serious look dumb. And once you understand that, then you can see through the Al Gore and the Greta Thunberg and the Leonardo DiCaprio and all the other virtue signaling bullshit. You pay a clown to take something real and make it look dumb. I'm going to keep it simple for you folks. I don't know what's happening for sure, but it's not because of your car. It's not because of your hot dog. And one of the oldest stories, and I've said this before, and I hope you're listening so it's not confusing. One of the oldest stories throughout history, if the building is aflame, find a poor person to blame. What did they start doing immediately after the LA fires? Oh, it was hobos with big lighters. You know, it's anarchists starting fires in the Arctic, you know, the ones that don't go out. Yeah, that's what's going on. Don't waste your time on Al Gore. Don't waste your time on Greta Thunberg. Don't waste your time on wide awake media telling you that nothing's happening, because they don't understand it's the ice on land that's the problem. They're retarded, okay? The reason why the oceans haven't filled with water yet is because most of the ice that's been melting has already been in the fucking oceans. It's already displaced. No, the next phase is going to be more interesting, folks. And guess what? Phase applies the term, you know, ice to liquid, liquid to gas. But the next phase, which involves things like the Greenland ice sheet or some of the larger glaciers on land in Antarctica, that next phase, which is happening right now, is going to be non-linear, catastrophic, brutal, and it will have nothing to do with who you vote for. It will have nothing to do with your Mega Man or an NPR woman, and the Green Revolution and all of Elon Musk's bullshit will do nothing to fix it. I mean, they'll feed you stories right up till the end. And there's even the possibility that they'll turn off the geoengineering to keep with the narrative. Papa Blump found out about the chemtrails. Papa Blump shut down the chemtrails. And then you have your first wet ball nightmare in Chicago, where the outdoor temperature is 120 degrees and the humidity is, I don't know, 80%. And then all of a sudden, Papa Blump, can we have the chemtrails back? That could happen very soon, folks. That's one potential scenario. But me personally, I think the wheels are going to pop off. You know, I said Boblimpdoc would last 5 years. In all fairness, nobody can truly predict the future, and I don't know for certain what happens next. But I don't think it's going to be all the horror stories that the liberals are pushing right now, the literally Hitler bullshit, and I don't think it's going to be Trump saving us. I think Trump is what I have been saying for a long fucking time consistently. He's a column of fucking smoke. He was a column of smoke when he was president the last time, and frankly, he's an even bigger column of smoke now. The question a rational person should ask is not what is the personality of the smoke, what does the smoke say nasty things on social media? No, ignore the fucking smoke. Ask the question, what is the smoke hiding? Because if it's the reset, it's the reset. If it's some horrible catastrophe, it's going to be that. And I think we're going to find out real fucking soon. I don't think we're going to be waiting decades. I don't think you need to listen to the edgelords telling you, oh, Papa Blump's going to do the Glump Trump, and sure, it's a Glimby, but we get, you know, 5 more years of trading Bitcoin and shit. No, I don't think any of that retarded shit's going to happen. I think very soon the wheels will pop off, and people will understand what it means to say that nature's not linear, it's not gradual, it's catastrophic and brutal, and when it does hit you in the head, sometimes it hits you another time. It's kind of like the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the three-wave theory. The first wave kind of swamps you. The second wave nearly takes you out. The third wave sends you barreling down into the depths. It won't be one thing. It will be many things. That's closer to the truth. So don't listen to Al Gore. Don't listen to Greta Thunberg. Don't listen to these other talking heads telling you nothing's going on. And frankly, be careful with even Dane Wigington, because I think he's got some takes that are kind of sideways too. Use your own brain. Do your own research. Observe what's going on around you. If you're under the age of 40, to be honest with you, you may not have an understanding of what a blue sky looks like, no offense, other than what the Photoshop recreator on your phone gives you. So when you see a sky and you say it's blue, I know that you're being retarded, but it's not your fault. You've never seen a blue sky. You've never actually seen a proper snowstorm in your entire fucking life if you're under the age of 40. That's what I think. So let's go on next topic. Ignore the clowns. Ignore the clowns. Ignore the harlequins. Ignore these people they toss at you. I don't care if they're mega men people, liberal people, ignore them. Their purpose is to basically take a serious subject and make it look like a freaking joke. It's the same thing's true with the pro-Palestine thing. That's AstroTurf designed specifically to, so you can say to yourself, well, at least there are people protesting. That means we live in a free world, as people are being obliterated by 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile. Yeah. Freedom. So this is the PSYOP that never goes away, and I'm glad I called it monkey herpes, because in the context of herpes, the herpes really never goes away. And the COVID-19 vaccine pandemic bullshit never seems to go away. Because a billionaire cancer researcher says COVID and the vaccine likely causing surge in aggressive cancers. And here's what's really important. If you're going to scare the fuck out of billions of people, which is what they did in COVID-19, and you don't want to swamp every hospital in the country, then almost immediately, as I've said before, you have to tell them how scary the vaccine is. Because if you go to the hospital, they'll give you the vaccine. But you can contact Alex Jones or Joe Rogan and get the horse dewormer. You can stick a UV light down your throat, or you can drink bleach. Yeah. If you are going to scare people who've been conditioned to be germaphobes, and you don't want to basically destroy every hospital in the country with all of these people basically suffering from a mental illness, not an actual physical illness, then you do have to tell them, if you go to the hospital, they're going to give you the vaccine. You get a surgery, you're going to get the vaccine. You'll get tested, and they'll give you the vaccine. I got surgery. I visited the ER in 2022 and 2023. Nobody tested me for the monkey herpes. Nobody gave me any fucking vaccine. But I must be special, because at the time, I was on Medicaid. It turns out the homeless people did pretty well with the COVID, you know, and nobody cared if they got the vaccine, because they're going on a sea trip. They're going on a ship to go, ships ahoy. One day the people of Seattle will line up down the street and they'll wave the homeless goodbye, because they're all thieves and killers, or kids who will grow up to be, right? And they'll put them on the ship to go to the happy fun camp, and they'll wave goodbye. One day. Or, what's more likely, is that pretty soon, just about everybody you know will be literally running for their fucking lives. Have a happy Friday.